Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopi Jana Balava Girivara Dhari. Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana. Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Nitya Gopremanandi, Hare Hare Bol. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Thank you. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Interesting verse today. We're Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 14, Text 10. Ditiru Vacha. Ishamam Tvat Krite Vidvan. Kama Ata Sarasanaha. Dunoti Dinam Vikramya. Rambam Iva Matangajaha. Titiru Vacha. Ishamam Tvat Krite Vidvan. Kama Ata Sarasanaha. Dunoti Dinam Vikramya. Rambam Eva Matangajaha. Esha Mam Tvatkrite Vidvan. Kama Atta Sarasanaha. Tunoti Dinam Vikramya. Rambam Eva Matangajaha. Sat Krite Vidvam Kama Artha Sarasanam Dunoti Dinam Vikramya Rabam Eva Matangachaha. Any Mataji want to chant? Esham mam tvat krite vidvan kama atta sarasana dunoti dinam vikramyan. Diti uvacha. Beautiful Diti said, Esha, all these, Mam, unto me, Tvatkrite, for you, Vidvan, O learned one, Kamaha, Cupid, Atta Sarasanaha, taking his arrows, Dunoti distresses. Dinam, poor me. Vikramya, attacking. Rambam, banana tree. Eva, like. Matangajaha, mad elephant. You can see where this is going. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. He took so much trouble to write these books. Translation. In that place, the beautiful Diti expressed her desire, O learned one, Cupid is taking his arrows and distressing me forcibly as a mad elephant troubles a banana tree. You can repeat at your own risk. In that place, the beautiful Diti expressed her desire. O learned one, Cupid is taking his arrows and distressing me forcibly as a mad elephant troubles a banana tree. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Beautiful Diti, seeing her husband absorbed in trance, began to speak loudly, not attempting to attract him by bodily expressions. She frankly said that her whole body was distressed by sex desire because of her husband's presence, just as a banana tree is troubled by a mad elephant. It was not natural for her to agitate her husband when he was in trance, but she could not control her strong sexual appetite. Her sex desire was like a mad elephant, and therefore it was the prime duty of her husband to give her all protection by fulfilling her desire. The one clarification where it says at the beginning of the purport that she was not attempting to attract him by bodily expressions. In other words, that would have been the default mode, the kind of the normal way to attract his attention, attract him. but she wanted to cut to the chase, as they say in modern American English, and just tell him outright, you know, what she needed from him. Om Gyanatim Miranda Shajananjana Shalakya Chakshun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. A couple of introductory comments. One is, it's a little bit awkward, or could be considered a little awkward, that sannyas should have to focus on women's sexual desires and expressions. But I would compare this may be a little strained, the comparison, but most of you are familiar with the example that Prabhupada gave, that if a girl is a dancing girl, it would be foolish for her to try to keep her veil on. In other words, you dance, you go ahead and you dance. You don't worry about these fine points of etiquette at this point. Just dance. Don't worry about your veil. So I have to, not exactly dance, but I have to, and not exactly perform, but I have to present the Srimad Bhagavatam class, and this is the subject matter. So I'm not going to be inhibited about it. Take the veil off. I don't usually have a veil, but take, so to speak. Does that make sense? Okay. I forgot my reading glasses. All right, so we're just in time. Almost just in time. Tomorrow is St. Valentine's Day. And it also, historically, I looked it up, it's also sometimes called Cupid Day. So it's kind of a near coincidence here that Diti is mentioning Cupid. And Cupid is taking his arrows and distressing me. What is it in Bhagavad Gita? Kandarpa prajanam kandarpa chasmi, or the other way around, kandarpa prajanas chasmi. Of causes for procreation, I am Cupid, the god of love. So over time, Cupid and his arrows became central symbols of Valentine's Day. Now that's a quote, not from Shastra, but from Google. A Google search came up with the following. Over time, Cupid and his arrows became central symbols of Valentine's Day. So I guess this is the way we're celebrating Valentine's Day, very innocently. We start off, we have the mad elephant simile. The points I'm going to touch on are the mad elephant image, something about the way that Aditi was feeling, her sexual feelings, something about how in the Vedic context, a woman's urge for sexual union is not something independent of her desire to bear children. At least that's the norm in the Vedic context. And then it'll say something about the last two sentences of the purport. It seems one of the apparent contradictions. I always find apparent contradictions. What is that? The thesis, antithesis, and synthesis. And maybe a couple of other points at this time. Hmm. So just a simple point is that the mad elephant image is mentioned. And there are other occurrences of the same image. Like, for instance, the Namaparad number 7 is referred to as the mad elephant offense. Isn't that, I got that right? Not sure. Hey, Pran Govindavu, is that the correct? The seventh offense against the holy name is sometimes called the mad elephant offense, to offend a Vaishnava. We're not sure. Anyway, one of the offenses is called the mad elephant. I think it's number 7. And another reference is in the sixth canto of the Bhagavatam, 6.11.9. Quote from there, as the demigods closed their eyes in fear, Vitrasura, taking up his trident and making the earth tremble with his great strength, trampled the demigods beneath his feet on the battlefield, the way a mad elephant tramples hollow bamboos in the forest. So if anybody was thinking that they might want to become a demigod, think twice. Demigods are don't always do that well. Another is in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila, chapter 5, text 187. There was a dream of Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami. And in that dream, I think this was anticipating the arrival of Lord Nityananda. So in the dream, Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami described his dream that this great personality, his body was anointed with sandalwood pulp, and he was nicely decorated with tilak. His movements surpassed those of a maddened elephant. And one more citation from the sixth canto, 6.11.8. Vichasura, who I mentioned, trampled the demigods beneath his feet on the battlefield the way a mad elephant tramples hollow bamboos in the forest. Okay, now we'll get on to the little bit delicate, touchy part of this whole part of the narration of in Srimad Bhagavatam. Apparently, Diti was not unique regarding her sexuality. As noted in 3.23.44 purport, Bhagavatam, Prabhupada says in this purport, quote, it is understood that the sexual appetite of a woman is 9 times greater than that of a man. That is clearly indicated here. Otherwise, Kardama Muni would have had no reason to expand himself into 9 persons, 9 forms. Another point about the mood of Diti and how she's feeling is that, at least in the Vedic context, a woman's urge for sexual union is not something independent of her desire to bear children. Unless she's just a prostitute or something, the sexual desire always includes that desire to bear children. This is confirmed by Diti's statement in the next verse, quote, I desire to have sons, and I am much distressed by seeing the opulence of my co-wives. By performing this act, you will become happy. Sometimes that distress and that jealousy, the co-wives have children and one other wife doesn't, takes drastic turns, like in the case of when all the co-wives actually murdered a baby. That was Chitraketus or something? Okay. Okay, and then looking at this from a broad perspective here, in Western philosophy, Arthur Schopenhauer believed that the desire to reproduce is what really motivates people towards the opposite sex. For instance, men tend to find women's broader hips attractive because they provide room for gestation, in other words, for developing the baby, and eventual birth. So here, Diti, a woman, also experiences the sexual urge as inseparable from the urge to reproduce. So now, going to the last two sentences of the purport. From what we have learned since our earliest days in Krishna consciousness, don't we need protection from unbridled lust rather than from its not being satisfied? In other words, Diti was begging for protection in the other way. Not that, please protect me, I'm feeling lusty. I want your protection. It wasn't that. She was actually begging for protection from the lust itself. No, I'm sorry. She wasn't begging protection from lust. She was begging protection from that the lust wouldn't be satisfied. So she's quite upfront, as we used to say. Right, quite direct. So in Bhagavad Gita, doesn't Krishna warn Arjuna and the rest of us that lust can never be ultimately satisfied and it burns like fire? Dushparenana Leena Cham, chapter 3 of Bhagavad Gita. And also, we're advised in the 70th verse of the second chapter. Apuryamanam achala pratistam samudram apak pravishanti yadvat tadvat kamayam pravishanti sarve shishanti mapnoti nakama kami. That I'm just mentioning these things as the usual, what would you say, default mode is that we're advised not to try to satisfy lusty desires. Or in very limited context, certain times, maybe mostly, at most once a month, in the Grihastha Ashram. Otherwise, that verse I'm just referring to in Bhagavad Gita in the second chapter, that Shashanti Mapnoti Nakama Kami, that one obtains peace by tolerating the fact that material desires, including sex, tend to constantly enter the mind. Of course, in the rules of brahmachari, the brahmachari, and that I'm sure includes sannyas, should be celibate in a very, very complete way, not even thinking of sex life, what to speak of indulging in it. Or talking about it, or associating with people who were into it. So wasn't that the training, rather than what we're hearing in this context, in this verse, in purport, that it was actually the duty of Kashyapa to satisfy the lusty desire as much as possible. He'll do a pretty good job. Unfortunately, he wasn't able to control his wife sufficiently, so she obliged him to perform the sexual act just a few, it even says a few seconds before the proper time. In Vedic culture, timing is very, very important. As far as this idea of trying, you know, can lust be satisfied? It says Bhagavad Gita, Dushparina Nalena Cha, it's never satisfied, and it burns like fire. It's also, it goes on to say, Kamam Dushprit, Kamam Ashritya Dushpuram, that the demoniac people, I guess this is in chapter 16, they take shelter of such lusty desires, which again are never satisfied. So it just goes on and on. So in Western thought, there was one poet by the name of Rimbaud, I forget his first name, and he had a very goofy idea. He had this, back in my college days, I read one book by him, and he had a desire to become, in his own language, a visionary. He wanted to become a visionary. In other words, some sort of mystic, to be able to see things beyond the veil, so to speak. And he thought that the way to have mystic vision is to engage the senses to the ultimate limit. Pretty convenient for one who wants to gratify his senses. You know, that's the way I'll have mystic visions. And isn't there also, there was a misuse, a misunderstanding and a misuse of this famous type of yoga called Tantra Yoga, which is a yoga of sex. But if one really looks, I was a Chutananda when he was Swami back in 1980. He actually explained that if you actually look into that Tantra Yoga, it's pretty ghastly. What you have to do is kind of horrible and not worth it. But in the hippie times, we would sometimes refer to this Tantra Yoga. Yeah, it's a kind of yoga, you know, it's sex, you know, it's yoga. Yoga is sex, sex is yoga. So Rimbaud fell into that trap. I don't know if he read, or he was before the hippie time, but he was a kind of hippie himself and a poet. So he thought that that's the way I'll have mystical visions, is to gratify my senses to the ultimate limit. Not a good proposal. So although lust can never ultimately be satisfied and it burns like fire, there's also in Bhagavad Gita, there's one verse, Najatu Kama Kamanam Upabhogena Shamyati. What is it? Pushkar, help me. Upabhogena Shamyati. Oh, yeah. Havisha, Havisha Vartmeva. And then it's yata. There's a combination of stage fright and old age. Eva bivartate. There it is. Eva bivartate. Havisha something vartmeva. Eva bivartate. That the Havisha is ghi. So that's the verse that describes that by putting fuel into a fire, it doesn't, the more wood you, it doesn't make the fire go out, it increases the fire. So similarly, by supplying the senses with objects for sense gratification, including sex life, it doesn't decrease the desire, but actually increases it. The fire of lust increases. So Rimbaud didn't get it right. But then again, married life, although you might say it's difficult in the case of Kardama Muni, he made a special arrangement, and through his mystic yoga, he became 9 Kardama Munis. So that helped to a certain extent, actually helped a lot. But normally speaking, lust is not satisfying. Although married life provides a license, but it's not a license to become licentious. But to at least temporarily relieve the, quote, itch, unquote, by letting, it's compared to rubbing 2 hands to relieve an itch. So, okay, you want to try to relieve the itch, married life gives you the opportunity for that. Everybody likes to hear about 1966 and different things, and my devotees had different exchanges with Srila Prabhupada. So I boldly and not so politely asked Swamiji, before Prabhupada was addressed as Srila Prabhupada, Swamiji. So I said, Swamiji, what is this illicit sex? As an aspiring hippie, it was a big topic. And Prabhupada very calmly simply said, illicit sex is sex outside of marriage. And then the discussion went on. I wasn't satisfied with the answer, and I was, in those days you can get away with almost anything. Back in 1966. So while the children engendered in terms of proper married behavior, they might be considered angelic compared with the two, not to be irreverent, but I sometimes refer to Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu, and as most of you know, that is where this is going. This is the background of how those demons were born. They actually stayed in the womb for 100 years. We don't envy Aditi, not Aditi, but Diti. We don't envy her plight, although she was able to handle it. So they're just about to begin their 100 years in Diti's womb. There is inevitably much trial and tribulation entailed in raising kids. And what to speak of the expense? So my point here is to suggest that aside from, quote, sex life according to religious principles, which of course in Bhagavad Gita Krishna says, Dharma viruddha bhuteshu kamosmi bharatarshama. I am that sex life which is not contrary to religious principles. Aside from that, it would have seemed that Kashyapa's, quote, duty, unquote, should have been to ensure that religious principles prevailed rather than satisfy his wife's demand in an irreligious union. Well, they were married. Why would the union be irreligious? The following text will bring this out. Because, again, in the Vedic culture, timing is of the essence. I took a course once. I was obliged to take this course in Baruch University, part of City University of New York. It's called the Law of Business Contracts. And in business contracts, time is a decisive factor. Timing. In other words, if you don't get the thing done in the time the contract stipulates, then you broke the contract. And then there's legal remedies for that. What fun. Law of business contracts. Point is that time is extremely important. Of course, it's Krishna, Kalosmi. And as we, most of you know what's, where this is going, where this Leela is turning, that it was just a few seconds, bad timing, and the result was disastrous. However, it's interesting that at first, after the sex act was performed, and it was untimely. It was just a few seconds before the time where Lord Shiva is not going around and there's hobgoblins and all the inauspicious time. Just there's another example of that. No, wasn't it that, was it Nanda Maharaj? That he took his a bath a little too early, and then as a result he was pulled down into the water. Who pulled him down? Varuna? Oh, the servant of Varuna. Okay, not Varuna directly, but Varuna's servants. He pulled down. There was another example of one of Arjuna's wives. The way she got him was when he was swimming in the water, she grabbed his feet and pulled him down in the water. So that's a technique. But the main point is that the timing was just a little bit off. And it was, you can say, a fault on the part of the husband, Kashyapa Muni. Well, you read in the text that followed, she just doesn't have any inhibition at all. She is grabbing the cloth of her husband. And once she did that, he just became overwhelmed by her demand. And if she could have just waited a little bit, then everything would have been much more auspicious, and Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu wouldn't have been the issues, and it wouldn't have become such a big issue for the whole universe. So he kind of, that was a fault. We can say it was a fault. Kashyapa is a great personality, but this was a fault that he couldn't resist. Not, it wasn't so much that he was becoming seduced exactly, that he himself was feeling sexual desire, uncontrolled sex. It was more the imposition of his wife, the insistence of his wife. And as Prabhupada writes in the purport, it's the husband's duty to satisfy the wife, to protect her, and part of the protection is to satisfy her desires. But in this case, there was unfortunate bad timing involved. Now, up to this point in the narration, the proposed union could still have been, quote, kosher, unquote. Now, some of you may not know what that word kosher means. Anyone, most of you probably know, but does anyone not know what kosher means? Somebody, don't be ashamed if you don't know. Not everybody's Jewish. Well, I'm not going to get technical about it. It just, usually it refers to diet in the Jewish religion. Of course, you're allowed to eat meat in that religion, but you're not allowed to have meat and milk in the same meal. That's not kosher. So kosher means following certain dietary restrictions in the Jewish religion.
No meat and no milk in the same
meal. Right. It's a, I don't think you want to join that religion. It's something to do with that you're taking the milk from the cow. It's not polite to also be killing the cow at the same time. Something like that. I don't know. A courtesy. It's in the religion. Look it up. So that's this idea that if, in other words, the proposed union, if she would have waited just a few moments, it would have become, quote, kosher. In other words, it would have been according to religious principle. And in one sense, non different from Krishna, or a vibhuti, a opulence of Krishna. Dharma viruddha bhuteshu, kamo smi. I am that kama, I am that lust, which is engaged in not contrary to religious principles. But in this case, what's that expression, American expression? A miss is as good as a mile. So that was the case here. In other words, even though it was just by a few seconds off, it was as bad as a mile off. In other words, it was bad news. So, alas, Diti's passionate insistence could not accommodate a dharmic resolution. That's a pretty packed sentence there. But, in other words, Kardama Muni, not Kardama Muni, Kashyapa Muni was not able to react to his wife in a religious way because she was just off the scale, passionate. But one thing, just to repeat the same point, and it's interesting that it's an important point, that again, in the Vedic culture, when we hear about someone like Diti insisting that I want to have sex, I want to have it now, don't quote me on that, that it's, I want children. Also, so that shows that Vedic culture, even when lust enters into the picture, but it's more elevated than what many of us have grown up with in the Western world. Now, despite everything that happens, that's about to happen, quote Bhagavad Gita 18:38, now put your point in a nutshell. Oh yeah, why did I say quote Bhagavad Gita 18:38? Vishayendriya samyogad yatad agre mritopanam panina me visham eva. What is it? Tad sukham rajasam smritam. That's the verse that describes happiness in the mode of passion. And happiness in the mode of passion, in the beginning, it's just like everyone's on strike. Nectar, amrita, deathless nectar. It seems so sweet, nice at the beginning. But then, pariname visham. In the course of time, it becomes just like poison. The reverse is true in happiness in the mode of goodness. In the beginning, it's you have to bite the bullet, perform austerities, make sacrifice, undergo some hardship, deprive oneself. For instance, if you want to be a big athlete, big star, Olympic athlete, say, your friends are going to the bar. I'm talking about in the karmi context, vikarmi. They're going to the bar. They want, come on, what are you doing? Why are you always, you know, you don't like us? Why don't you come with us and enjoy? No, because he's spending his time lifting weights, doing exercises, and bodybuilding, and getting ready to become an Olympic athlete. So, in other words, it gets back to the basic principle of shreyas versus preyas. And this applies also to this pastime, we can say, where unfortunately the preyas superseded the shreyas, the short-term benefit, the get immediate satisfaction, preempted the wisdom of, in this case, waiting a little bit. That would have produced a great long-term benefit. So that's very important. It's actually, I had a teacher, Mrs. Margulies. I think most of you, you're so much younger than me, most of you, but even though I'm before you know it, if I'm still alive, I'll be 80 years old, since body. We tend to remember all our teachers. I'm not going to run through the whole list, but I remember the name of every one of my teachers in grade school. So in the third grade, it was Mrs. Margulies. And she used to talk in those terms. I don't know nowadays if teachers have that wisdom or teach it. She would say that, I always insist that my children first finish their homework before they can listen to the radio. Not that many people had televisions at that time, so the radio. So in other words, first go for the long-term benefit, and then, okay, you want to enjoy something superficial, and you can turn on the radio, listen to some funny stuff. So in this lila, unfortunately, the prayas superseded, it preempted, it displaced, I don't know what other language to use, the shreyas. Of course, we have the tasmad gurum prapadyaita jigyasu shreya utamaha. How does it go then? Nishnatam brahma parshanam. That one who really wants the real benefit, shreyas, as opposed to prayas, then one should approach a bona fide spiritual master. And then the qualification of the spiritual master is also given, that he's thoroughly acquainted with the scripture and he abides by the scripture like that. Like Srila Haridas Thakur, he was glorified because he was doing achara and prachara. He was not only preaching prachara, but he was also showing the ideal behavior. Yadyat acharati shreshtas tatat evataro janaha sayat pranamanam kurute lokastam anuvartate. It goes on in the third chapter of Bhagavad Gita, how Krishna says that I have to act exemplary. Whatever example set by a great personality, all the world pursues, and they follow his standards. So it's important for the benefit of, I don't want to become the cause of unwanted population by introducing vice by my bad example. I have to give, of course, Krishna, sometimes he showed a behavior that we shouldn't imitate. But in general, what to speak of Lord Ramachandra, in general, Krishna gave us a very good role model. Not that we can do like Krishna does, and he's God, but that we should follow in his footsteps. Okay, the last point is that despite everything that happened up till now, Diti will end up quite content after learning that, first of all, that her sons, Hiranyaksha, Hiranyakashipu, will be killed directly by the Supreme Personality of Godhead and not by any sort of Brahmin's curse. And the second point that she was happy about was that her grandson will be a very great devotee of the Lord. And what's the name of her grandson? Prahlad Maharaj Ki Jai. Sometimes considered the greatest of the Mahajans. All right, so just to recap a little bit, I tried to deal with the topic despite my being renunciate, and I had tried to deal with a topic which was anything but describing the extreme opposite of renunciation. So I tried my best. I had to take off the veil and dance for you all as best as I could. I'll read the translation once more, and then we can have some discussion if anyone has any points to raise. In that place, the beautiful Diti expressed her desire, "O learned one, Cupid is taking his arrows and distressing me forcibly as a mad elephant troubles a banana tree." So we don't so much celebrate St. Valentine's Day tomorrow. So. Any comments or questions? Yes, Mataji. You had a microphone.
Of course, this is a special pastime in Leela, so the way things went, right? It doesn't, none of it seems really that terrible because they were special personalities, Hiranyaksha, and, you know, but it also it seems that, you know, from what I understand, that besides the timing, the consciousness has so much to do with the child that you know, even the karmis have something called conscious conception, that you're actually, you know, you're in a high consciousness, and that helps to bring about.
Yeah, just interjected. I don't know if everyone follows this, but Srila Prabhupada instructed that when a married couple are going to have kids, they should chant 50 rounds
right
before performing the sex act.
So that seems even more important than the time. Yeah. But I always wondered about, like, sometimes twins will be, you know, twins are born, and they're so different. It might have been a matter of 10 minutes, but they can be so, so very different.
What's different?
Twins, you know, like, they're born so close together. You would think that it wouldn't make much difference, 10 minutes.
You're talking about twins?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. But so these are twins, Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakasha.
Yeah. But you're mentioning that it was just a matter of seconds, everything would have been changed. So I guess that timing is very important, but I don't know. Anyway, yeah, it's a little confusing. But I think the consciousness also is very...
Yeah, well, in the Vedic important. Culture, there's much more sensitivity to more subtle factors that enter into the picture. In Western culture, tends to be more on the gross side. Of course, they get very subtle when it comes to the technology that's, you know, it's impressive. But in terms of behavior and social norms, it's not nearly as finessed. Of course, Vedic culture has a basis, namely the Vedas, how to behave. Not the demons, pravitim cha, nivritim cha, janana vidura. So they don't know what to do and what not to do. So, in this case, the timing was crucial. Somebody else?
Maharaj, there are many causes in Bhagavad Gita we find. Sanctioning cause that Krishna sanctioned. Efficient cause, ingredient cause, instrumental cause. But originally, Krishna desired to have the fight. So he's also responsible.
Have you been, instead of reading Bhagavad Gita, you've been reading Aristotle?
No, I'm being honest. I mean, 1323, Krishna says, I'm the sanction cause. Mm. So he desired to have the fight. Then these two, there has to be untimely in order to have the demoniac birth.
Yeah, I mean, we always get back to the bottom line, not a blade of grass moves without the will of the Lord.
Yeah.
So the Lord is the ultimate doer, he's the ultimate one who wills things to happen. But with that in the background, there's still ethical responsibility. There's, in the material world, there's still reactions. I mean, Diti and Kashyapa, although they're extremely exalted, and they have he displays unbelievable mystic power, but still they're in the material world. So there are these constraints on behavior. And
can't you say they are actually contributing Lord's fulfillment of fighting?
Well, certainly contributing to the Srimad Bhagavatam. It's like one of the purposes of Krishna coming to this world and performing his different leelas is that we have Krishna Katha, we have specific activities and pastimes to discuss and relish. Machita makata pranabodhyanta parasparam katyantaschamam nityam tushanti charam. We can enliven one another and how does that go? Enlighten one another and conversing parasparam amongst ourselves, and so it gives us some material, not material, it's spiritual, but gives us some content to have Krishna Katha. And is that all right? Okay. Here's the movie.
Well, you know, we can consider how Aditi and Kashyapa, that was a Vedic awkward moment, you know? Like, you know, because we do have these guardrails and we're trying to stay in the lane, but they had an awkward moment there. But it created about 40, 50 chapters in the Bhagavatam, you know? So I guess if you're that advanced, even when you mess up, it's still, you get something out of it.
Yeah, well,
one thing about Sugata, you know, it's like when we talk about we're trying to create consciousness and have the kid, it's not like we're creating the kid. It's like we're creating this environment to attract somebody that is attracted, you know, on some karmic level or by desire to that environment. So it's not like by some mechanical chanting, like, wham, I got, you know, a B-plus kid, you know, it's you know, or I created it. It's, we're creating an environment, you know, there's so many dynamics going on here.
Well,
yes, exactly. That, well, what's a wrong soul? They're all Krishna's little children, man.
Yeah, but they're contaminated.
Well, if you want pure devotional kids, go to not earth all the time. I mean, if you want 9 out of 10 of your kids being, look, they're in the heavenly planets and they're still like hit and miss. But all these souls are finding some place to take birth, and we're just trying to create a favorable environment because we want to facilitate a devotional environment, just for that soul, but for everybody. If we're going to spend 20 years raising this little, beautiful little child, you know, hopefully there'll be someone to contribute to Lord Chaitanya's pastimes in a positive way. Though Aditi's kids created about 40, you know, that's about a good 30, 40, 50 chapters. I'm sure Preeta's a pure devotee there, you know, but I don't know if she's going to get about 50 chapters in the Bhagavatam.
It seems like there's two inputs involved. One is the consciousness at the time of death determines one's next chapter, and then also the consciousness of your parents at the time of conception also has a big input there. So. All right, well, a little cross discussion, but I'm sure it's nectar. So does anyone else have any comment or question before we end? Yes, Montaji, microphone.
Hare Krishna. Just we heard that was it in Prabhupada's purport from the story of Devahuti about the women being 9 times more lusty. But I've also heard that when she takes to Krishna consciousness, then that can be positive because she'll have 9 times more energy to put towards developing her devotional service.
That's called. Most of us.
It's
didn't
true.
Hear that. That's a good example of dovetailing that 9 time factor to perform more energetic devotional service. That's good. I mean, that's a whole subject, and it wouldn't be, aside from the fact that we're out of time, but it wouldn't be appropriate to discuss in a Bhagavatam class, but this whole idea of, you know, how is it practical, women, Prabhupada would sometimes speak in very earthy language about the sexuality of a woman, and kind of back up that point that is, but sometimes it's hard to understand, because men often display tremendously lusty nature as well. So, all right, I think everybody said what they wanted to say. Thank you all so much. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Valentine's Day, Kijai? No.